episode 014. I'm your host, Kevin Moosey, general manager of Buckeye Newspapers and editor of the Jasper County News. I hope that you're having a great week. I just want to let you know I wasn't planning on taking off last week, but it was my daughter's birthday, and she considered it her birthday weekend, even though her birthday was on a Tuesday. So I just enjoyed spending the weekend with her, soaking in the birthday weekend of her being an 11-year-old. And I feel like the older I get, because my birthday was the weekend prior, it was on the 6th, I feel like that I'm running out of time, y'all. Man, she's growing up so fast, and she's growing up so quick that one day it's not going to be cool to spend the weekend with Dad on her birthday weekend. And, you know, I was picking at her, and I said, well, you know, I think your sweet 16 is going to be on a weekend. And, you know, guys, girls, listeners, I just feel like on her sweet 16, she's not going to say, Dad, I want to spend the weekend with you. And so I decided whenever she said that we were going to spend the weekend together. We done that Saturday evening, picked her up Saturday afternoon. So we spent Saturday and Sunday. And the day prior, I was going to get her the day prior. But we did have baseball and things like that. And, of course, her mom wanted to spend time with her. I fully understand that. Me and her get along well. But I also had something else that came up, which was about a two-hour-long interview and something I'm really excited about sharing. I've got to edit it, and I want to make it a podcast. And myself and the Laurel Ear Call was at this event, and I told him afterwards, I said, you know, I know we're quote-unquote competitors, and I think that Jim Segelski thinks that we're competitors and all this. I don't really have that tribalism. I say we're the best community newspaper, but I'm not saying that like, oh, the Leader Call or anybody else sucks. I don't mean it like that. But it's just not there for me. I'm not that guy when it comes to competition. But I don't want to just rant off on that. But they were there, and I said, I'm just excited for the story. You know, we sat there and listened to this, and it involves Mr. Jimmy Bass, his brother, who is probably the main focal point of the story, and a German soldier. So just give you a little tease there. I'm wanting to work on it and make it a podcast and make it into an article. So you'll probably see something from the Leader Call. And I'm really excited to see Mr. Darrell's article, who was there for them. I'm really excited to see where he takes it and then where I take it and kind of see how our stories are similar and different. I'm kind of excited to see that. So I don't know if they've already published something or not, but I'm super excited to make our interview into a podcast form with Mr. Jimmy and the German soldier's daughter from World War II. Like I said, I don't want to reveal too much. But I'm super excited. I'm like thinking about the story. I'm legitimately getting goosebumps on my arm just thinking about it. So I'm super excited for that. But I say all that because that kind of pushed and delayed the podcast down. And by the time I got back here to the office, I was like, I can't get the podcast out this week. So that's why there's a week delay in the podcast. And like I said, the weekend prior to that, I celebrated my birthday. I went down to New Orleans. And, of course, Zion Williamson wasn't playing because he was hurt. Of course that happened. But I did get to see Victor Wembanyama. I got to see him play, and that was really cool to see a 7'5" guy. Never in my life seen anyone that tall. So that was really cool being able to see him, and he actually took over in the last couple of minutes, and San Antonio won that game. So that was really cool to see. Get to head down to New Orleans and watch that, watch him play. But that's kind of been what's going on in the last couple of weeks with me. But I just wanted to kind of let y'all know I just took the weekend and spent it with my daughter. Because you don't get those moments, I don't think, very often anymore. And I want to cherish that. So moving into the discussion this week on the front page of the paper. The Bay Springs School Board met and they took care of several items on the agenda. With the most notable news being the announcement or reminder, however you want to discuss it, of graduation for both Bay Springs and Stringer High School graduations. Bay Springs' graduation will take place inside the gymnasium on May 17th at 6:30 p.m. That's on the Bay Springs campus. While Stringers will take place at 5 p.m. on the football field, on their football field, Stringers football field. If there is a disruptive weather event, Stringers' graduation will take place at Bay Springs Gymnasium prior to Bay Springs' graduation. And I am hoping that we do not have a weather event, because parking would be unreal unless they have figured something out that I don't know about. I feel like parking would be awful unless they spaced it out so far enough that Stringer people could get out and Bay Springs people could get in. I just feel like it would be awful. And the reason why they're having it, Stringer's having theirs on the football field, is because their gym is currently being reconstructed. They're putting new bleachers and things like that in. I think a new floor and all that. So that's why they're having theirs on the football field. I just wanted to let everybody know. I will try to find out when Civil Bay's graduation is, and also Heidelberg's graduation. I realized that I did not have those two graduation dates and times in the paper, and I don't have them in front of me on my paper, but hopefully by next week I will have that and all that. I don't want to leave them out. I wasn't intentionally doing that. Miss Carol Evans, she wrote the article about the school board, and I saw it and got it, I believe it was Saturday or Sunday, and I got the put the article together early Monday morning, and just like I said, we went off to press, and I completely forgot about Civil Bay and East Jasper, Heidelberg. So my apologies there to those two schools. Moving on, the Special Olympic Games, they wrapped up at Jones College recently with several local schools assisting with it, including West and East Jasper. They helped out and volunteered their time and things like that in helping those Special Olympic Games. You can find photos, tons of photos from Miss Christy Reddick, who is our journalist over in Laurel with the Laurel Impact. She's done a fantastic job taking photos of that event. It's always a great event. I think she's actually done this 2 years in a row now. So I'm really proud of her and her photography skills. They're growing. So you can see photos from that event. You can also see the press release over at impact601.com. Meanwhile, also, Bay Springs, they celebrated their honor roll with multiple all-A students. Bay Springs Middle School, there's several students on the front page. You can find them on the front page and find out the information there. Give them a little bit of recognition and a hand clap on that. Well, as we turn to a more serious note, also, I don't want to avoid this. I don't want to do anything like that. The elephant in the room, if you pick up our paper this week, you will see the press release regarding Zachary West Buckley. He was sentenced to 16 years in federal prison without parole for luring a 16-year-old to meet him at a hotel for illicit sexual activity. I posted that press release after I received it. Monday evening, I believe, is whenever I received it, because I know it was after we had sent our paper off to press Monday morning and mid-afternoon. That press release was sent to me after we went to press, so that's why I sent this week's paper. I'm just going to be upfront with you, very disappointed in Zach and everything like that. I don't want to beat a dead horse, and I'm just going to move forward with it. I'm just going to tell you like it is. I'm very disappointed, but also why I didn't go into more details like other publications did is very simple, and I'm going to make this quick. It's because I have to go and I have to see those family members multiple times a week, and they are hurting and have been hurting, and they are shocked and devastated by that. And I think that the press release, as I read it, I think it was enough. I think that it was enough of the story. I think it got to the point, and it did all of those things enough without me having to add anything else to it. So that's why I put it in there, and I left it at that. And it's the same as I've did with previous stories. I go back to the human trafficking incident that happened in February. I put the charges down. I thought there was some relevant information that one suspect stated that I put in there, but otherwise I didn't put any juicy details, any anonymous sources or anything like that. I left it at what it was, and you as the reader, you form your opinion, and if you want to sound off on it, you can. It's the same way with this story. If I'm sure people have their opinions and things like that. They've expressed their opinions to me, and that's fine. I've went through all kind of emotions. I went through disappointment, shock, hurt, anger, all of those things. I just believe at the end of the day, you know, I had a column that written about me, because last year I wrote a column saying that we were going to move forward at Buckley Newspapers. My disappointment was very evident, but I wasn't going to dwell on what happened, and I was called not transparent enough, and that I was shallow, quote unquote shallow. And I didn't even know the column was written about me until about 2 weeks after it had been written. But I'll say this, and I'm going to leave that where it's at. You can call me shallow. You can call me whatever you want. You can tell me that to my face. That's fine. But here's my process. I saw people that were devastated. And I saw people, even besides family members, that were hurting, and I was hurting, and I was angry, but I'm not going to spew that on a newspaper page. I can keep my thoughts to myself, and I can still show the facts of what happened. I can still say that I'm disappointed without having to say anything else, and that would be with any situation, whether it was Zachary West Buckley or whether it was John Brown down the street. You know, one of the things that was said in that column was that they were a victim of sexual assault. And I genuinely, and I mean this, if they listen to this column, I genuinely hurt for you. And I can relate, because I've had family who were victims of sexual assault. And it angers me deeply. And for you, it might be good spewing that on a newspaper page. And that, if that's your therapy session, if that's your way of dealing with it, that's fine. And I'm okay with that. And we might have a difference of opinion there, right? And you might still think that it's shallow. And anybody else, I act like I'm specifically talking to this person, but it's just in general. You might think that that's shallow, and because I don't just share my everything that I'm thinking on that newspaper page, but one of the things that I know is that me doing that isn't going to change the situation, and it's not going to help anyone. It is very, very clear that I'm disappointed. If you come and we have a conversation, sitting with a cup of coffee, I will gladly tell you how disappointed that I am. But I don't have to put it out in the Jasper County News or the Laurel Impact or the Smith County Reformer. Because I feel as I put my journalist hat on, I want to share the story, and I want to share stories with you all, and you form your opinion around the facts that are laid out. And were there juicy details? And I use the air quotes. Yeah, there were. There were details in there. But I don't think that putting them in the Jasper County News helped anybody. So that's where I'm going to sit at. That's where I'm going to stand at. Would I change anything? No. Would I change anything that I have or haven't written in the past year? No. I'll say this. The people, the person who wrote the column about me, and my opinion really hasn't changed. Really hasn't. They offered me a pretty good job. And they wrote, they wrote in that column, they offered me a job. And it was a pretty good salary. So I think that despite their opinion, and I understand, and they said that they respected me in there, in that column, that to them it might have came across shallow or not transparent enough for them. I think that because of what they offered me, that they thought I was a pretty dang good journalist. And it was very hard not to take the job. But I think God works everything out and has a plan for everything. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And I think that everything happens for a reason. And I legitimately feel like God put me in Jasper County for a reason. I think that over the past few years, things have happened in my life that God has done, and God has put me in places for a reason. Not that I can boast. Not that I know why. But I think that He's done that. And over the past 4 years, and I don't want, this isn't a victim or sob story or anything, I went through during COVID thinking I was going to lose my job. I've told this before, I was about to sell all of my photography equipment and go to work at a Holmac or a Pico or a Howard's because I thought that I was done with this chapter of my life. And God uses Zach Buckley, Kevin Williamson, James Pugh, and others to give me a job as a sports editor for Hattiesburg Impact. And then COVID happens. I thought I was going to lose my job. And God opens a door for Kevin Williamson. And then that opens the door for me to keep a job, to serve as co-editor of the Laurel Impact. COVID happens, and I don't talk about this much at all, but I got COVID the weekend of the state championship games in 2020. My then wife, had it too. And I was sitting in a chair and could barely breathe. Thought I was fixing to go to the hospital. And I was legitimately praying for God to give me some relief because I couldn't get up out of the chair to go see my daughter in the bedroom. And my wife was in the bedroom and she couldn't get out of the bedroom to get to the bathroom. And God healed us. And then we moved forward and me and my wife divorced. And for those that don't know, I'm a student pastor too, bivocational student pastor. We divorced. And I thought that God wasn't going to use me anymore in ministry. And He did. And I served at a church for over 10 years in Jasper County. And I've rearranged my life. And I'm serving as a bivocational student pastor now, besides my job here at the paper. Because I realize God uses people, and I'm serving with Kevin Williamson, who was at the paper and who served at BNI, who was the editor here and manager here at Buckley Newspapers for a long time. And I just celebrated serving over a year at our church there. Cheap plug, even though it's the Jasper County News Podcast, you're welcome to come to Crossgate Bible Church in SoSo. God's used that. God put me there whenever all this happened with Zach Buckley. He supported me. He sent people. There's been people in Jasper County who have supported this paper, who have supported me whenever I was new. They've dealt with reactions and things like that that have happened in the newspaper industry that we as a company have had to adapt to, that we have struggled to adapt to. There's been times where we are lucky to have a paper come out because of COVID and the effects that happened with advertising and things like that. And I'm not sitting here in front of a script and I've rethought and reorganized and re-recorded what I wanted to say. But I put all of this for you together to say that despite everything that's went on, I believe in God's plan. And I believe in what He is able to do. And I'm so thankful to be in Jasper County. It's home for me now. And that's not, like I said, I'm not trying to be cheesy or anything like that. It just is. It is home. I love Jasper County. There's so many aspects that I love. At Heidelberg, whenever I go to Heidelberg to cover a sporting event, the kids and the coaches just, they come up and they hug you or they shake your hand or they call you by your Instagram handle. They want pictures. During the basketball tournament, the Heidelberg coach literally goes to chest bump me. I've never had that happen in my career. On the west side of Bay Springs, you go cover a softball game, and the kids are asking and posing for pictures. I'm hoping they don't get in trouble, you know, with the coaches or anything. Or you have a Dan Brady, and I'm gonna call him out by name, who anything I ever need, he's there. I'm trying not to get emotional. The formation and being on the board of Bay Springs Main Street, seeing that grow, seeing the city grow, Bay Springs and Stringer, the Board of Supervisors, the city, the aldermen, the businesses here, all of those things, y'all put up with the paper having to be so tight because it is a struggle, because we've had to change different companies and things like that and whatnot. I understand it's not a perfect world, and there's probably some complaints about how the paper looks sometimes, or that article's not in the paper immediately. And I'm sorry, because we don't sometimes have the room. But I'm just so grateful to be where I'm at. And I wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything that I've done regarding that situation with Zach. I wouldn't change anything that I've written. And if that's shallow, if that's cheesy, if you're just rolling your eyes while you're listening to some of this, that's fine. It's okay. But I'm just going to be, I'm probably too genuine with people. But that's just the way I am. I'm passionate about what I do, whether it be with this podcast, with this journalist career, or with my ministry life. I try to be as passionate as I can be. And I hope that you enjoy what we're trying to do and what we're trying to create. And whether it be on the newspaper page, on the podcast, in the magazines, all that. And like I said, I'm ranting a little bit and I'm chasing rabbits, and I understand that. But I hope that you understand that we as a company are trying our best to move forward and with everything that we do, with every single thing that we do. So I appreciate all that. I'm going to transition into a lot lighter of a subject, and that is this, is that baseball and softball season has wrapped up this week. Scheduled first round games, and I'm just going to be perfectly honest, it has been hectic trying to get schedules and find out times of games. And I think that the rain and weather has just killed our baseball and softball coverage, because it seems like everything gets rearranged and all that stuff. And then I have evening meetings and events that happen that I just can't get to what I want to get to as far as baseball and softball. But I do want to give you the schedule for both Jasper and Smith County. So in 2A softball, our teams that are in the playoffs, Richton and Raleigh, Smith County, Raleigh team, Puckett and Heidelberg, West Lincoln and Bay Springs. 1A softball is Stringer versus Shaw, Leland versus Taylorsville. I actually just saw on social media, Stringer's playing tomorrow night a doubleheader at home with Shaw. It's also their senior night. I don't have schedules for everybody. It was just everything said TBA on Sportsbook Live. On the baseball diamond, you have in Jasper and Smith County, you have Mize versus Puckett, Lloyd Starr versus Bay Springs, and Richland versus Raleigh. I believe that James Pugh, our Smith County editor, he is actually covering Mize versus Puckett right now. Then you have in 1A baseball, Taylorsville versus Shaw, Stringer versus Leland. So you have those contests going on in the first round baseball action, and that kind of leads me into this rant or discussion. And it's a question I want to ask. Has moving to 7 classifications hurt high school sports? And I don't know if we saw it as much in football in its opening year with 7 classifications, but I really feel like we saw it in baseball this year. And me and James have discussed this on the phone and yesterday when we were delivering papers on the route between Smith County. I really think that 7 classifications has hurt sports. And I think it specifically hurt 1A, 2A, 3A baseball. Your smaller classifications of baseball and softball, I really think it's hurt it. And what I mean by that is there are some softball games, and let me preface this by saying very quickly, I'm not criticizing the players, I'm not criticizing the teams, I'm not criticizing coaches, okay? Please understand this. But I think it is, and I'm just going to use them as an example, I think it's Taylorsville softball. I want to say they've only won a couple of games, and they're in the playoffs. I haven't seen Heidelberg play all year because weather has literally killed any chances of me covering them. But I don't know how many games they've won. And then on the baseball side, you have Stringer, who is second in their district, who I covered them versus Lloyd Starr, and they run-ruled them in both games by a combined 39-1. Meanwhile, last week, they got run-ruled by Taylorsville twice, 23-3, I think it was. So you've got 3 teams in that district, and there's that much of a gap between first and third in that district. And I'm sitting here like, man, like, that's crazy. And I'm pretty, if I'm not mistaken, I think Leake County was like on the edge of making the playoffs. Like, they were still in contention if something crazy happened, right? They were in contention of making the playoffs. And then you've got, you know, other teams that I've seen, just looking at the schedule, right, that they probably shouldn't be in the playoffs. And if I'm a kid, and I try to put myself in this situation, right, if I'm a kid on a team that's only won 2 or 3 games all year, 4 games, 5 games, do I want to go to the playoffs? I don't think I do. I think if you're looking at 16 or 17 year old Kevin, and I did play baseball as a kid, if I was to go back and say, do I want to keep playing? I really don't think I do. I really don't think that I want to keep playing. I don't know if I want to go play in the playoffs. And maybe there's some kids and coaches that are, they're like, we can go in and we can shock them. We can shock the 1 seed. But I just don't know. And I know that may not be politically correct. And there might. And look, if you're a coach listening to this or you're a player listening to this, sound off and let me know. We can have that discussion over a cup of coffee and or whatever or whatnot. You can come on the podcast for all I care. Maybe I'm completely off base. Maybe it wouldn't matter if it was 6 classifications, 5 classifications, or 7. Maybe it wouldn't matter. But I think that 7 classifications is hurting baseball and softball. And I think it might start hurting football. And listen, it was cool seeing Oak Grove become the first 7A classification champions. And that was a heck of a game between Oak Grove and Starkville. There's some great players, D1 players on both teams. Wes Jones, great that they won, right? Laurel made it. Got eat up by West Point, but they made it. Heidelberg made it. Shocked the world. Beat Raleigh, beat Bay Springs. There were some competitive games in football, right? But there were a lot of stinkers in football, I'll tell you that. There was a lot of stinkers whenever I looked across on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it on Friday nights. There were a lot of blowouts. All across the classifications. A ton of blowouts. So does it help it or does it hurt it? And maybe in football, maybe it's a couple of years that we really see if it helps or hurts. And maybe it's for the better. Maybe I'm overreacting and it's a couple of years down the road, it's better for baseball and softball. I'm not sure about soccer because we don't have it in Jasper County and I feel kind of disconnected from soccer in Jones County now. But I don't know. I'd have to ask some people involved in sports dealing with those classifications in soccer. Basketball. You know, I think basketball, it does it affect as much, maybe? I think I saw it a little bit in volleyball. I know when Stringer played, I think it was Lee County. I think it was Lee County in the first round of the playoffs in volleyball. It was awful. It was awful. Those kids drove down here to Stringer to play an 11 o'clock game, and it was over with in, I think, 23 minutes. They didn't want to be here. They didn't want to play. But if they forfeit, the school gets penalized. The team gets penalized. So what do you do? Meanwhile, and I think that this is something to kind of look at, is the MAIS. And listen, I'm not picking on Silver Bay. Okay, love my Silver Bay people, right? MAIS, though, as a whole, this is who I'm talking about. I was told and have been told by, let's quote, anonymous people, MAIS is killing small ball schools. Killing them. And last year in football, boggled my mind that we had a team from Tennessee drive all the way to Silver Bay and got beat. Or was it 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 years ago. Not 1 year ago, 2 years ago. We had a team drive all the way down from Tennessee. And I don't think they had won a game. Maybe they had won one game to get in the playoffs and got beat down here like 49-0. Why? Why do that to those kids, those coaches, the parents? Why make them drive from Tennessee to Jasper County to get beat like a drum? The kids didn't want to be here. They didn't want to be here. I'm not picking on Silver Bay. They can't help it, right? The other team really can't help it. But why is that team making the playoffs? I don't care if you have to shorten the playoff season. Figure it out. Same way with baseball and softball. Figure it out. Every once in a while, do you have an upset? Yeah, I'm sure you do. Every blue moon, you might have an upset in the first round. But you see it in the tournament. 16 seeds don't often beat 1 seeds. 15 seeds don't often beat 2 seeds. It's very rare in the NCAA tournament, right, in college ball. And in high school, it's probably even more rare. We got to figure it out. There's no sense, and I'm gonna say this with Silver Bay baseball and for the other team too. There's no sense last year in Silver Bay having to go to Arkansas to play a baseball game. And there's no sense in an Arkansas team having to come to Silver Bay to play a baseball game. And it was a good baseball series. I'm pretty sure. I think they went three. But why? Why are we doing that? Let's figure out something different. If we have to combine some districts and you have to put seven teams or eight teams, figure it out, man. I don't know exactly what you do. Maybe it's a thing where people just have to get in a desk, in an office, on a round table and figure it out. But let's figure it out. That's my rant for this evening. And it might be a hot topic. But look, if you're a coach and you're listening to this, or you're a player and you're listening to this, I'm not coming after you. I promise. I'm not. I want to know why this has happened. The MAIS stuff, the MHSAA, is it just money? Are you just wanting more gate money? Is that what it is? Is that what we're trying to do? If it's that, you could tell me anonymously, hey, Kevin, listen, we don't need shorten the playoffs. That's less gate money. Okay. I might disagree with it, but okay. At least we could be honest there. But it's not entertaining seeing what I saw 2 years ago on Silver Bay's football field and risking a kid getting hurt. Or driving from Tennessee 5-6 hours away. There's no sense in Stringer volleyball having to play a team who literally was running away from the volleyball whenever it came to them. It don't help anybody. And I don't know if it makes that much of a difference at the gate. A couple years ago, Bay Springs football, fantastic team, taking nothing away from Dan Brady's team, right? Nothing. They were fantastic team. I've never seen a team dominate that way since Wayne County in the mid-2000s. But that first round game that they played was awful. Was awful. It wasn't because of Bay Springs players. It wasn't because of coach or anything like that. There was such a talent difference. And frankly, the game shouldn't have been played. Unless you just want the gate money. And maybe that's the forbidden fruit, right? That we don't want to talk about is it's a little bit of gate money. But is it? Is it worth it? I don't know. Does the seven classifications do it? I know we did have that problem. I will concede that we did have that problem with six classifications in some areas, right? But I don't think it was as rampant. Maybe the MHSAA thought it would be better with seven, but I just think that you combine the districts a little bit and the top, the elite teams, the good teams separate themselves from the not-so-good teams, and that's what you pull from. And I don't think going seven classifications help. And for the MAIS, it might be that we tone our classifications down a little bit, and it might hurt a Silver Bay. It might hurt Apprentice Christian. It might hurt a PCS, right? It might do it. But maybe it brings in some competitiveness where those teams elevate themselves too. You know, I don't know. Maybe I got it wrong. If you're a coach, let me know. If you're a fan and you disagree with it, let me know. It's okay. I'm not going to get mad if you disagree. Anyway, this episode has gone on for almost 40 minutes. This is our longest episode of the Jasper Cajun News Podcast. Well, I hope that you have a great week. Make sure to subscribe to the Jasper County News. There are rates as low as $30 per year for a subscription. Come in here, get you a subscription. Fill that blank space up for me in that top right-hand corner with your address and all that stuff. Make sure to subscribe there. You can also find links to the podcast host apps at the top of the Jasper County News Facebook page where you listen on Spotify, YouTube, whatever you want to listen to our podcast on. You can find those links up there. I hope that you have a great week, and we will see you next time around.